We want to do like an intro. Oh.
It's like, I think we need to do an intro.
I think so too.
Most podcasts have
it. You're hosting, right? I know. You're the host?
Yeah, Trent's the host.
Trent's the host?
Host it. Right. Host it, Trent.
Well,
like a boss.
If I'm the host, why do we have to introduce ourselves?
But you have to come in and be like, hey.
Okay, all right.
Welcome to the
We're getting like 50,000 new people every week that are listening.
Are we really?
Oh. Every week.
I don't know. I'm not even sure how to track that crap.
I looked at it through Podbean, and we had like 400 hits.
Are you serious?
And I was like, yes!
What is GGJ?
Anyway, so,
wow.
Thank you,
GGJ?
Everyone.
GGJ? Global Game Jam.
So, this is Spencer Buchanan.
Wait, I'm supposed to do this
Well,
part.
You're not on it. I'm sick and tired.
You gave me the responsibility.
All right, do it.
So, we're going to record another Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. We actually have a special guest this week, which is awesome.
Yay.
We'll get to that in a moment. Let's go around and introduce ourselves. So, Spencer, go ahead.
You're supposed to introduce yourself first because you're host.
Oh,
am I hosting this movie?
I don't know how we do this.
Yeah,
we're going to go ahead. We're learning.
You guys are the pros.
We're learning.
All right. I'm Trent Baird. I am a game developer out of Salt Lake City, Utah. And
trying to cough through that can opening didn't work.
We're drinking soda. All right. Go ahead.
Do that. Oh, I'm Spencer Buchanan. Producer on a couple or on an iPad game, looking to start developing with Ouya soon.
Ooh,
did you know that?
Yeah.
We should talk about Ouya one of these days.
Yeah.
And
we should talk about lots of things.
Graduate student, University of Utah, in video games.
Awesome.
Kind of cool.
Brandon Karate. I am a producer on Zodiac Thesis game, the University of Utah, and former film Grip Electric and producer.
Really?
Really.
He's active. Oh, awesome. He's totally got an IMDb page.
Yeah, I do have an IMDb page.
I do
page.
Too.
Bam.
Yes.
How many degrees from Kevin Bacon?
No. Billions?
Oh, that's sad.
I'm only like two or
really,
three,
technically
I think.
Only six.
Yeah.
Or is it seven? I don't remember.
And then we have the awesome guest, Rockstar.
Yes! So awesome. All right.
All right.
Will you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Josh Jones. I'm a game developer at Smart Bomb Interactive, which is also in Salt Lake City. Been in the industry here in Salt Lake City for coming up on more than 8 years now.
Wow.
And I'm also into experimental games.
Yes. And that's not all, as you'll find out, everyone.
What? Yeah,
Josh is awesome. Josh and I worked at SensorySweep, which, if you're listening to the podcast, you should know my take on it. We might get into Josh's. Maybe not today. I don't know. We'll talk. We'll see where this conversation heads. So we wanted Josh on the podcast because he is a really integral part of the game development scene in Utah.
Yes.
So we have a few questions, which we emailed him, what, like a week ago? And he's totally prepared. We're not.
Unlike the rest of us.
I'm actually disappointed that you gave him questions. I thought, I'll give him one question. Turns out, Trent goes behind my back and actually asks him a whole bunch.
Well, we might not actually ask these questions.
Okay, this was just fluffing him.
This is just the type of question.
It's always a good idea not to, like, rush the guest. First time, it's like, you know, give him a chance to be prepared. It's like, ready, into the fire.
Yeah, and obviously Karate thinks he knows how things are logically supposed to happen.
Anyway. Once in a while.
So, okay, so Josh.
So there's, sorry, I'm gonna interrupt. We've got people to thank.
Oh, who do we got to thank?
We've got lots of people. Well, first of all, we want to thank Josh for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I wanted to thank everyone who's followed us on Twitter, liked us on Facebook. Really appreciate it. Adam Ellis followed me. Chaos
Rockstar.
Chaos technician.
Adam Rocks, dude.
Yeah, he's such a good guy.
Yeah, hilarious post, so I started following him as well. wanted to, again, thank Pacifist Games. We got a good shout-out from them. And my friend Christian Pantel. And that's not all. Anyway, he's a buddy of mine from high school who lives in Phoenix. He's awesome. And then my friend Patrick Waldrop, he's actually the guy who I moved down here with to study film, which is, he's also the reason why I have an IMDb page.
there you go.
Actually, I don't know if I do. I know I have a credit. I don't know if I have a page.
Oh, is Christian Jedi Spudwalker?
I don't know. Who the heck is this guy?
I don't know.
He's from Phoenix.
He made me laugh,
I think
he's though.
From, I think Jedi yeah. is from Tucson. Christian, if that's you, please let us know.
Well, okay. So this is what got me when his description on his Twitter account is technology enthusiast, gamer, and daddy, especially interested in mobile and PC technology and games, period, and beer, period, boobs too.
So that sounds like Christian.
That's okay, so that makes a little too generic for me.
I mean,
yeah, it's like, well, that sounds like everyone on 4chan, but well, maybe not.
Got it covered.
Yeah. So whoever Luke Spudwalker is at Jedi Potato, thanks for following us.
And yeah, man,
it's been good. Thanks for helping me figure out that I'm suck at audio, by the way, because that was my fault last week. Audio.
Didn't we have a doom? Like, we had a cop. It went, no. like, restarted itself halfway through the podcast or something.
No. So I took it and I was like, I'm gonna be all crazy. I'm going to add some cool music at the beginning and the end. And so it was recorded in mono. And the music I found was stereo. And so I had to turn the mono to stereo just so I could work with the two. And I forgot to squish it back to mono. And so Luke Spudwalker's like, dude, I can only hear it on my left ear this week. What the crap? And I swear I'm going to fix it. I promise.
We'll fix it. We'll upload it.
It has to happen once, right?
In progress, man. Right. Okay. Little at a time.
Cool. So, all right. Anyways, we're going to go around again. This time we're going to start with Josh and ask everybody what you've been playing. So, Josh, what have you been playing?
I just started Psychonauts yesterday.
Oh, awesome.
Rock on. First time ever?
Picked up the bundle.
Nice. Yeah, it's from the bundle. I'm going through my bundle games.
Velocity bundle. We've talked about
Psychonauts is really impressive so far. I've been going through a bunch of other indie titles, all my horror-themed ones in celebration of October. Like Limbo and Lone Survivor, which was pretty interesting. That game was interesting because I was more interested in it after I beat it because of how the story worked out.
Oh, that's kind of how I was with Braid.
And then Guild Wars 2 a lot.
Oh.
Interesting.
Card games Dominion right now.
Oh, yeah. Spencer's been trying to get me to play Dominion.
You should play it.
I know it's
a fun game.
Dominion is really fun.
Game. It's a hard game. I'm really bad at it.
Yeah. League of Legends.
I mean, you want to talk about emerging gameplay. That game is strictly emerging gameplay.
Who do you play in League? What's your style?
Singed is my main, but I like high mobility champions.
Cool. Mm. Assassins?
Kassadin and Twisted Fate.
Okay.
Stuff like that. People that can teleport.
Kassadin's a jerk. He's got like 16
I'm
teleports.
I'm not good at him. I'm not really
Kennen
good at the game.
I played Kennen for the first time the other day. I'm really impressed
Sivir
with
Sivir is fun too because of her, her kiting ability.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
So, and her shield. Sivir.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with the shield too.
I hate that shield.
Syndra?
No, Sivir.
No,
what's
Sivir.
What's her kiting?
Oh,
she's
super right, right.
Oh, her passive makes it so whenever she attacks, she gets a burst of speed. So she's really, really good at attacking while running.
Yeah. Man, don't hate me.
Nothing I can say.
So how do you play Singed? Do you play him tanky or do you play him AP?
He's the only way to play him.
Top, tanky. AP Singed is for fun when you're not being serious.
Yeah. I've seen it, it throws you off if you do it. Or it throws people off if you do it.
Maybe. Yeah.
They don't usually encounter it. So.
Yeah. It's a very situational.
Yeah.
You know, play, but
awesome. All right, Spencer, what have you been playing?
You know what? I don't even know if I played Borderlands this week.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Oh, I forgot to mention I went to the Game Jolt winners. They had a fear competition.
Oh, very cool.
A few of those were really interesting. There was one that was like one of the whole focuses was screen shaking and how to use that to scare you and stuff.
Was it effective? Did they do an effective job of it?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was called?
No, I don't remember the names of any of them. They're all kind of generic names.
Fair enough. Where can we
sound
find them,
though? Some just go on Game Jolt. They're featured right now.
GameJolt.com. Okay, I haven't actually been there
for free. So I don't like. I played League one or two rounds this week. We're in crunch time. Karate and I have got games that need to be ready for IGF come October 31st, which is next Wednesday. So we.
Yeah, we need to talk. We need to figure out what's going on next Wednesday with the podcast. I'm not going to be able to do deadline? It because...
We're going to have to do
it's
it.
It's Halloween.
That deadline's a bad
thing
for us.
I have two little boys who are going to be dressed up, and I need to go hang out with them because it's going to be awesome.
If I could express to you...
My son started walking today.
If I could express to you my hatred for Halloween...
What?
Because it's awesome. You don't like Halloween?
When you've been mugged for your candy more than one Halloween... And
then you're wearing the wrong costume.
You're wearing the wrong costume. I had way too many bad experiences of pumpkins exploding at my house, and being mugged by.
Recently?
Like last year.
Here's a tip.
They totally let my girls go, but they mugged me.
Also, you need to
That's
stop
why
checking.
You just stay at Don't. Home and set up booby traps.
Yeah. I know. Like next year, I'm so buying a BB gun. I can't do it. I'm living. Student housing, and so it's like,
that makes sense.
It's actually tolerable, but yeah, I mean, if I live in a normal
It gets better
area,
once here.
Oh my gosh, I am so gonna be just like bringing BB guns up to kids' faces if they get near me.
Wait. Oh. Okay.
I hate.
If they get near you, why are you still trick or treating?
That's what I'm wondering. I was like, you're a little old for
us,
man.
I got three girls. Right. No, when I was a kid, we just had way too many bad experiences. And I just thought,
that's why I stopped trick or treating with my brother.
It got me to ask, why the heck do we even do this holiday? It's so pointless.
Because it's free candy.
It's so pointless.
So easy to explain.
No, it's not. It's a celebration.
You walk up to strangers and say, hey, can I have candy?
What,
yes.
What is Halloween? What is... we're not even going to get into this.
It's celebration of fear.
No, it's not. It's the evening before All Hallows Day.
That's... Great explanation.
And it's also still really awesome in...
I don't know.
Like family. If you got a good neighborhood...
So Ashley told us tonight that her family gives out full size candy bars. So guess where we're going?
I know, right?
I've got two little boys.
Well, be.
Yeah, when I grew up in New Mexico, and there was the rich side of town, and and man, everyone gave full size candy bars. That my buddy growing up,
poor kids going to the rich
his
side
family.
Of town.
Yeah, oh no,
I did
You'd be shocked how many cars. I mean, it's just lines of cars shuttling kids in and out of neighborhoods up there. It's crazy.
Everyone knew which neighborhood you.
Oh yeah, you knew where to go, and they totally knew where all the good, people would give full size candy bars.
You know which one is the haunted house? That's the best haunted house on the block. That's the
We're gonna do a shout out to Erie.
Oh, no good. Heck yeah.
Erie, I replayed that one, too.
It's crazy. So Erie is a game, if you haven't played it, it's on Desura for free. It was made by last year's graduate students of the University of Utah. And
shout out to Team Fear.
Team Fear, yeah. represent. But yeah, it was interesting because we saw their development process, and it was not savory. To put it tactfully.
It's surprising because, like, we're going through a lot of our own struggles right now, too. Right. I mean, as IGF comes closer, we have all kinds of just, like, little difficulties and things that we're going through.
For the listeners who don't know, what is IGF?
Independent Games Festival.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a big festival where a bunch of independent games are submitted, and they judge. And did the winners come out at GDC?
GDC. Yeah, they do a GDC event.
The Game Developers Conference.
And so, Fez, I don't know if Super Meat Boy was a winner, but
no.
Fez was a winner.
No,
whoever wins.
Gish was.
Gish was.
Yeah.
But what was the other one?
There's a commercial, and then there's an education student track for the competition. And if you win the commercial version, you are guaranteed an offer from Microsoft for Xbox Live, which is why Fez got on Xbox Live and things like that. Yeah.
Nice. Huh.
And I had to register
That's
for our
a really
team
interesting
today.
Story, Fez.
Well, and I don't
it's a really
I don't I don't
game.
Think any game the movie gives it justice.
My
yet,
son and yeah, I hit the kill screen that, so the other day, which was awesome.
There's a kill screen?
Yeah. Well, it's the end of the game.
Oh, okay.
Before you go through and play the game again with sunglasses. Oh, it's awesome.
I'm jealous.
It's awesome.
So Erie
mesmerized for like 5 minutes, and he was like, "This is really cool."
How old is he?
He's 3.5.
He
cool.
beat Fez at 3.5.
Well, we play together.
He's a better gamer than you.
We should get him on our Borderlands team.
We should get him
team.
On our podcast.
We should get him on Borderlands team. Maybe he can help me up a lot.
He's like, "Why are you running in? You're a sniper."
I'd pay money to have him.
L2 Sniper,
dude.
Have you played Borderlands 2 yet?
Spencer.
That's what I need to record.
They make me be the assassin, which is the sniper. and they get mad at me because I run in all the time and die. But that's an ongoing.
He's a very enthusiastic sniper.
In all fairness,
there's a knife on my gun. What am I supposed to do with that?
They do have two different trees that you can go down.
Yeah.
One where you melee.
What?
There's a melee option. It's, yeah, you're supposed to be stealthy. Okay.
You're supposed to be stealthy, and so yeah, you can sneak turn in, invisible. You go invisible, sneak in.
So Spencer's like, Leroy
Jenkins. That's about it. Yeah. So anyways, about going back to Eerie, the development process was not anything that anyone would want to be a part of, and including the team itself, and they had zero hope for it. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened with IGF. Comes around to just finally getting published by the team, and some guy named PewDiePie on YouTube plays it. As far as I asked them, and they no one approached this guy. It's just this guy that happens to get like a million hits per video. It's like, hey, I saw a new game for free, and so I'm playing it. And so he does a playthrough with picture-in-picture, and it is absolutely the funnest thing to watch him play it.
It's hilarious. It's NSFW.
Just a bit. Definitely
not. Mom, don't watch it.
Yeah, don't watch that, Mom. But it was absolutely shocking that like every hour there was 100,000 more people, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They've got within a week they had 700,000 views on that one, and then he's like, okay, I'll play the rest of the game, and so he does another one for another 400,000 or 500,000 views. I'm like, oh my gosh, they got over a million people that saw their game.
Yeah.
And their downloads are through the roof.
It was pretty scary just watching him play it.
Yeah, well,
I think some of that was his reactions.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because I've played that game, I think, enough.
Did you watch it, Josh?
In helping them develop it, and, you know, just testing it for him and stuff. And I thought, okay, I know where every scare point is. Yeah, they still scared me, especially with him yelling.
There was a couple new ones in there from when I played.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And so it was super exciting, and man, they hit timing right. I mean, before Halloween. Yep. Slender Man's really big, and all of a sudden people are starting to say Eerie's better than Slender Man. And whether it's true or not, the more you can get people say that, because Slender Man's huge on like 4chan.
Really?
Which is well, the mythos of Slender Man was actually created from 4chan, and they were just like, we're gonna create.
That's funny.
It was totally a meme to create. They're like, we're gonna create this urban myth about this guy.
And
it was totally like, yeah, you heard about this? And everyone's like, oh yeah, I totally heard about that when I was a kid. And everyone was just lying through their pants.
Made it up.
But it got so big and just, you know, flooded through the internet that all of a sudden some guy makes a game
too.
Called Slender Man. But like the whole mythos of Slender Man was totally fabricated and everyone knows it, but they ran it through the cycles and all of a sudden everyone just ate it up. And so, it made a game. And I know some really crazy people following that Slender Man genre? I don't know what you'd call that. But just that
mythos.
The mythos of it and the game and everything that's come through it. And so getting Eerie to trump that within a week is pretty wild.
Yeah.
You know? That's really out of this world.
It's really inspiring.
It is.
Well, it's funny because they barely got it released. Like,
oh, man.
Like, they've been working on actually finishing it because there's a lot of little bugs and little things to get through before the server would take it.
It looks like there's still some of that, but... Mm-hmm.
It's definitely rough around the edges. It's a student game, but the fact that like they didn't want to release it. They're like, we don't want to do it. And finally,
they were so ashamed of it. That was the thing. They didn't even want it.
And the school hired one of the producers to come back and just get it done and publish it.
Yeah, which was literally getting the people to sign a piece of paper that said, "I'll let you publish this for me."
Wow. That was literally
all the work, and then signing all the paper with Dessert and stuff.
Because like it's a group IP, and so you have to get everybody's signature and stuff. There's no development, and developer, and so. But as soon as they got it, and it's amazing what's come off of that. But like, it is inspiring, but it's also telling. It's like, you know what? You look at your own stuff. It's like, it might not be as good as you think. It's like, man, I look at other people's stuff. Their stuff is amazing, but I look at mine. It's okay. Release it anyway.
Okay, so we're not including Josh. Josh,
sorry, Josh.
What's your comment on that?
On Eerie?
No, well, just that notion of development that you hate what you're working on, you want to throw it out the door, it's not worth crap, and then all of a sudden you send it out and people are like, oh, it is amazing. You're like, oh. You know, have you had that experience?
It's a very specific experience, by the way.
No, I don't know.
Or anything related to that?
Anything of mine that people have liked, I've also liked.
Oh, interesting.
I've thought it had value, but I'm not one to easily get frustrated about stuff. I like to...
Well, obviously, Josh is cool.
Do you generally work on your own stuff, or just do you have a team to work with? Or
with my experimental games, I'll do if I get an idea that's more exciting to me than the idea of playing video games for the weekend, then I'll make that game that weekend.
Mm. Sure. Yeah. And so Josh has an incredible turnaround time on his stuff.
That's pretty hard.
He'll prototype. I have lots of little experimental games, and I have them up on my website and stuff, and the ones that I think were good.
Yeah. What's your website?
I have one, vazor222.com, V-A-Z-O-R 222. And that links to a live journal where I post some stuff, and then I have some hosted space where I have all my little flash games and rambles and stuff. Very cool. I am also on Twitter, at vazor222.
So I'll probably play these games. I didn't know you posted all your games on there. I'll have to check those out.
There was a year when I was like, I'm going to make a game every month.
Wow.
And that was a really, really good experience. Everyone should do that.
Did you spit out 12?
That's ambitious, man.
One of them was non-functional. It was a very busy month.
I think we have to give you one for 12. Yeah.
Josh.
So I released 12 games.
So
I was so impressed until just a second ago. Sorry.
So when you're not working on your own or you know, on personal projects, what do you do for work?
My day job?
Yeah, what's your day job?
It's all Java right now. Java. Well,
what's the company? What's the game you're working on?
Okay, so Smart Bomb Interactive.
You don't have to tell us the game if it's under NDA.
Smart Bomb Interactive has been around for a while. Started by some people that they were at another studio called Beyond Games before that. They were downtown, but Smart Bomb Interactive, it's an angel investor setup, and they did a bunch of console games, and then right when I joined them, they were shifting to look at more social and online games, and that's been the project that I've worked on with them since I started there, which is Animal Jam. Just go to animaljam.com, and you can see it. That's been my last three years of my life.
Well, you guys,
and I hear it's the hotness with the kids too.
Right, but you had a big success in the last 6 months or so when someone signed on for your game, Nat Geo, wasn't it?
Oh.
Wasn't that just recently?
Yeah, a big company signed on. We got some investment so we could do some more advertising. Now you can find us in Walmart and stuff.
Oh,
so.
Awesome. But don't you have National Geographic?
Yeah, the game is a partnership with National Geographic, so we use their facts and videos and stuff inside the game.
That's stinking dope, man.
It's been with National Geographic since the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought that was something that developed later, but... But regardless, I mean, that's cool that you get to work with National Geographic.
So, yeah, I developed the server and client part of it with the other members of the team. But I started out doing most of it myself with, you know, most of the server and half of the client. The server is a Java server that we run in a data center in California. And the front end is Flash, and you just access it through a web browser. It connects with the socket to the Java server, and then I have to deal with a lot of, you know, like the standard MMO, because it's a socket, it's actually dealing like as if it was a standard MMO. You have a lot of the same scalability problems, and when you're playing the game, you can see other people moving around and chatting in real time, and so we have a lot of those same features. And although it's not exactly the same because it's over TCP, so we can't do, you know, full on FPS style reactions in real time. Action like that, but
I'm sure there's a lot of
turn-based games and things that don't matter if they're quick reactions.
Well, there's probably not do all those games. Is there a lot of 7-year-olds yelling noobs, you know, noob to other people? Or
no, we have a really strong community team.
Just
that,
a 20 plus snipers.
Yeah. When you first sign up, you can't even free chat because that's a law when you have a site targeted for kids.
Once
you get parent approval, then they can free chat. And
interesting.
There's tons of little mini games in there. Yeah, it's been great. It's been fun. It's a great project and a great company to work on. That's most of my day is doing Java and ASCII, ActionScript 3 in Flash.
I love ActionScript. It's my favorite.
I've seen ActionScript. So we did a class last semester on ActionScript. I'm not a coder. I'm very, very much not a coder.
And never mind. That's why ActionScript is so great. you tell your stuff what to do, and it does it.
It is one of the.
It was not that simple for me. So I'm
I
not
just
sure
don't
which
speak
ActionScript
the language.
You were looking at. Yeah, that's.
That was he was looking at me with his Japanese look, just going, no, I don't speak that language. Me either.
Yeah, when I first ran into JavaScript, which is ECMAScript, which is what it looks like, I didn't understand what was going on. What are these curly braces? And until finally later, I realized, oh, this matches with this. And, you know, I went through a bunch of JavaScript tutorials, mostly self-taught programmer.
Oh, cool. And,
that's the best way I've heard.
what's the main language that you like to use?
Right now, it's ActionScript, just because it's what I use. Back when I was working on console games, it was C++. Mm. And I would still say C++ is my favorite language overall.
Why is that?
I like the being able to... It's a language that's so versatile because it can do close to the hardware stuff, and yet it has frameworks to make it so that it's as high level as Java or ActionScript. And so it's very versatile, very powerful, lets you just drop into assembly if you need to really easily. I wish that they would add some kind of thing to get rid of the header files. That's my one annoyance with it. And
so, have you looked at mobile development at all, either personally or
in your company? Yeah, I'm working on an iPad game with my brother.
What are you using?
Who's your brother?
Peter Jones.
Well, I know, but
we're shameless. We're shameless, dude. So give some props.
We throw the shout outs as often as possible.
Yeah,
he's an artist. He's worked on games as well.
Peter Jones, I guess.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Good old Peter Jones.
He's actually working at Smart Bomb right now.
Oh, cool.
He got hired on there pretty much independent of any influence I had. Like, he got hired on, and then people found out he's my brother. They're like, oh! Which is the way I would want it, after experiencing all the nepotism at Sensory Sweep.
Moving on. So, what are you guys building your iPad game in? Just... Objective-C here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Xcode, Objective-C. He lends me a Mac laptop every week to work on it. So.
Frustrating. Is that frustrating?
Yes. Yeah. It's better like when I stay on it and, you know, keep acclimatized to the Mac environment and stuff. But.
So, Java. Have you looked at Android games for Java? Because they're. Have you looked at any of those? Is that interest you, or you've tried that, or
someday when I actually get a smartphone, I'll probably develop some apps for it.
You don't even have a smartphone. Oh, Josh,
I probably shouldn't have said that. I'm a lazy adopter of new technology. I adopt technology when it falls into my lap because then I know it is very widespread.
It's gone through the ringer a little while.
That's a valuable point. You don't have an iPad mini already?
Nope.
Oh. I've got 4.
I'm also very cheap.
Really?
No,
it just got announced.
It just got announced. Me and Steve Jobs. I mean, not Steve Jobs. What's the new guy?
You and Steve Jobs.
I can't do the Steve Jobs thing.
When we were hanging out last week.
Awkward.
Sorry, Steve.
Yeah, those are two things you'll find out about me very quickly, is that I'm cheap and pragmatic.
Yeah. And this leads me to Windows 8 just coming out. And I actually...
Some
spittle coming out of
Okay, now that's a funny reaction, though, because, like, a lot of people had that reaction to Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, Notch was talking the other day about how he's going to kill any development, I think is a little bit extreme, but...
Well, so here's the funny thing, though.
Let's just drive it to web.
Some engineers are going, oh, my gosh, they're going to let me code C++ on Windows 8.
Yeah.
Either mobile or you know, the desktop OS. And so I've heard some really big excitement that I can go back to C++. I'm sick and tired of using all these other languages because games are meant for, you know, these hardcore coders that only like C++. But
sure,
because I understand that I'm not even a coder either, but I understand that the expansive amount of control that you can have with C++ versus other languages is super ideal if you want to deal with it.
Here's the thing about Windows 8. There's, it's looking really good technologically. Hopefully it ends up being as big of an improvement as NT was. But the problem with this new app stuff they're going for is that it's going to be like how Windows and DOS was back when it was Windows 95. To play a non-Microsoft-approved game, you're going to have to drop out and switch over to DOS mode, quote-unquote, basically.
Really?
Yeah. And people, the most casual players won't do that,
Well, they won't even know how to do
it. And eventually, with less and less support from Microsoft, it'll just get worse and worse and eventually disappear altogether, just like DOS mode disappeared.
I can understand Notch's concern there.
And the restrictions on the App Store, like the fact that there's nothing in place for mature games yet, is just kind of like...
You're going to kill the entire AAA market in one shot. I mean, even look at Microsoft's top sellers, the past, Gears of War and Mass Effect and, you look in it's Halloween, so you look at this is the past month.
All the
Mature
games.
Always tops the charts in everything.
Yeah. No, that's true.
FIFA 13 in the UK.
Well, they got that market.
Man, Skylanders couldn't even take over FIFA 13. Party.
You get to put money into the phone jar.
Yeah.
It's been so embarrassing.
I caught it pretty fast.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just like, that's the big hang up for me. Like, looking at the Steam, even just my Steam list, most of my stuff's mature.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Braid's mature, right?
I don't know. I don't think it has a rating, to be honest.
I just try to click through that part so fast because I just want to play that game so much. I love it.
It's a good one.
Well, and that's an interesting question, is the ESRB, you can get around it by being indie and finding other channels to distribute your wares, but all of a sudden, Microsoft's their own ESRB, and Apple's their own ESRB, and so they're requiring you to follow their standards, and they're more stringent than ESRB is.
ESRB isn't... stringent. I mean, they just say this is what category this game falls under.
Where now it's like, this is what your game is going to fall under, and it cannot have XXX.
Well, it would be like, movie theater saying, we're not going to show R-rated movies. Okay, that's your choice. That's cool. Yeah. But there are other things.
You need to find an outlet.
This is like all movie theaters in the entire city saying, we're not showing rated R movies. Oh, great.
Yeah, our projectors won't show rated R movies. And guess what? Your TV at home won't show rated R movies.
Yeah. So you have to go out of town in order to watch this movie. Good. Well, we're not watching this movie because I can't afford that kind of time. Yeah. And that's, you're effectively doing the same thing to this game, this industry on your platform. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's assuming that Windows is where everyone's going to go.
Well, Windows 7 is where I'm going to stay. If that's the case, I'm not going. And they'll continue to...
Windows XP, what's up?
Well, I mean, like,
ME,
I like
dude.
7.
ME for life.
Oh, really?
ME.
Oh, friends still have friends. Spence
is a Vista man.
Yeah. Vista. Oh. ME. Better Vista than dead?
No, I don't know. That's debatable.
Better Vista than ME.
But I mean, Windows is like, there's a lot of Macs, but Windows is still the dominant OS right now, right? So.
But you can make a Flash game like Animal Jam.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's what
I think is going to happen. Everything will go to web because there's a lot of AAA stuff that can already be there, and with the advancements in browser technology, you're going to be able to just play awesome games right in your browser.
Have you played around with HTML5 at all? I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, what's your?
Grayson Ritchie kid loves it.
I know, right?
Love you, Grayson.
So here's the thing. I hear from a businessman standpoint, HTML5 is a godsend. I mean, it is the thing that's going to make them so much money because it works on everything, But from an engineering standpoint, and I've heard that from people. From an engineering standpoint, what's your take on HTML5?
I'm not really paying attention to HTML5 yet because the standard isn't complete.
Right.
Yeah.
But it looks interesting, and I dabble and see interesting demos in it, which is always a good thing for a new technology. and a good sign for it. But until they finish the low-level tech stuff that they're working on there, and it gets support from major, you know, hardware and OS developers, yeah, we'll see.
There's actually, let's see. When I went to GDC, I was really impressed that there was a whole bunch of, like, some of the big players, Glu Mobile, Gameloft, Gameville. Gameville strictly uses HTML5 on all their games. I think it's Glu uses Unity, actually. But there was two or three of them that used HTML5 so that they can port it easily and they just wrap it into whatever program
is needed for it's the, a smart for the choice device. Right now.
And they you know, they swore by it just as much as Glu Mobile was swearing by Unity, you know, and so I don't know. It's an interesting choice, but at the same time, that the fact that it's not done and hasn't been done. I mean, it sounds like they should have built that standard by now.
HTML. You remember the original HTML? I mean, it took a little while to get that standard together, and you know, over the years, you know, it's still changed here and there.
Yeah.
So
it's already taken longer than 4 has, though. But it is the most complex to date, so I'm fine with waiting.
It's amazing what they can do with it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Cool. So, Josh, I have another question for you, and I know the answer, but...
It's 5.
What?
The answer's 5.
Oh, no, the answer's 42. Everybody knows that.
What's the question?
Oh.
What is 6 times 9?
We need another
computer. Oh!
If you've read the books, you know the question.
Heck yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so... all right, Josh, what's, I don't know how to phrase this question. I know I wrote it down. So I want you to talk to me a little bit about some things that you are involved in the community, like that you spearhead.
Right. So,
that's not leading at all.
Most people know me as the president of the Utah IGDA, The IGDA is the International Game Developers Association. It's a professional organization, just ACM or, you know, a college sports thing, you know, anything. It's an association that just comes up around an industry. When an industry is big enough, there's people that are interested in associating and improving the industry beyond just their own studio. And those are the kind of people that make up the IGDA. Just a few quick notes. The main goals of the IGDA is advocacy, so they'll do lobbying against laws that are bad for the industry. Community, they want to provide ways and support community so developers can meet developers and network and stuff. And then thirdly, they want to support professional development, so they have things on the website where if you're a student, you can read up on how to get into the industry, and then they support chapter meetings where they have speakers come in and you can learn about bleeding edge topics, and they also have white papers and stuff that they release.
It's very, very cool.
As the Utah chapter, we're very ad hoc and free form, but we have speakers every so often. We do have a fixed schedule.
Every 2 months or so.
We have a fixed schedule where it's the second Tuesday of every other month and at 7:30. The next meeting is Final Burn. It's kind of the big industry party for the studios in the Valley. IGDA is focused on professional developers, people in studios and such, but the door is open to anyone that's interested in supporting the video game industry. So we have lots of indies and such that come as well. But yeah, Final Burn is going to be a lot of fun. Second Tuesday in November.
What's Final Burn for those that aren't?
So the name comes from a term where when you're making a console game, you're burning a disc, for example, for the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you burn a disc and send it off, then if it's the last one, the Gold Master or whatever, then Final Burn is another term for it, and we decided to use that for the party name because it also sounds like a cool party name.
And, sounds like a rave.
Also, Final Burning, man.
It's like everyone is so burned out that it's like the last burn.
And that's why we have it in November, because typically all the Christmas schedules are done and everything's we're all kind of relaxed, have a chance to relax.
We should change it to Final Burning Man. We get so many more people.
It's a slightly different.
Yeah, Josh, when and where is the next meeting? Final Burn. We know when.
Yes. Yeah. Second Tuesday in November, 7:30, at Legends, which is next to Brewby's downtown Salt Lake City.
Very cool.
For that, you can find out more on the mailing list. Just get signed up there. IGDA.org/SLC. That's right at the top there.
So, Josh, I'm curious about the IGDA because, before you started this, was there an IGDA chapter here?
Yeah, actually, for a while there was two, one here at the U and one down in Provo, where Glyphics was and stuff. There was a big enough community down there that someone started a chapter. And then Allison Kelly started a chapter here, which was a student chapter. And if you look in the old website archives for U of U, you can find SIGDA. And they had some really great speakers, like people from Microsoft would show up every so often. But eventually, and that's when I got into the scene, when I started my career during the height of SIGDA. And as it started dying off, I had gotten in and I was still coming to the meetings. One of the people that was running it and saw that it was kind of dissolving without the without Allison's leadership, kind of told me I should take the reins and start a professional chapter, because it looked like there wasn't going to be any. And so I was like, all right. And so I refounded the professional Salt Lake City chapter, and I've been doing that for the last 7 years or so.
Hardcore, dude.
And so I know why you did it, but in some ways, I feel like you're the only reason there is that community.
It's true.
The savior of SLC.
No, you kind of are. I don't want to make it sound like you're awesome or anything, but you are. But, I really have noticed kind of a lack of community where when I talk to other areas, Boston, Chicago, obviously anything in California is just, kind of a dime a dozen. Everyone's hanging out with each other. But here, it seems kind of hard to get together with other developers. And maybe I'm not looking the right places, but it seems like why are you working so hard towards making sure everyone works together? You already have a job, I'll be devil's advocate here.
So it is kind of an interesting thing. The most game developers are very, they're not interested in getting out of their studios and meeting people generally. They have a job they like and they just want to spend time with their family.
Well, and they work.
A lot of them work a lot. Yeah.
Of hours that they work. So yeah, the time that we have with our families is very precious.
We've mentioned that.
Do you think that's why? Because, some of these other bigger cities, California especially, there's a lot more single guys or single people are looking for things to do outside. Whereas Utah is a very family-oriented place.
That's probably a big part of it, actually. Now you mention it,
I've never thought of that.
It might also be that this was a very close-knit community. Everything came from that one, from Singletrack or whatever it was, one of the old companies, and everybody knows everybody, and so it's
don't need to meet anybody else. If you're not in the club, then you're not.
The times when people actually gather to do things are kind of few and far between. Mm-hmm. But
it's exciting that we have Avalanche, which is Disney's subsidiary of Disney, and then we've got EA doing Sims here, and we've got Smart Bomb, we've got React, we've got Chair for crying out loud down in Provo.
Chair's
up here.
Oh, did they move up?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought
they're
part of the game development sandwich now. Same,
oh, sweet. Okay. Eat, Sleep, Play.
Same building.
We've definitely moved from beyond that, but it seems like the sentiments stayed in some ways. And I think there's people like you that are trying to move it in a broader community-driven area. But
yeah, I do what I can to combat apathy, but the
the universe is against you.
I think that's like everywhere. Like, it doesn't matter where you are. There's gonna be most of the people at a studio aren't gonna be interested in what's outside of their cubicle,
right? Mm-hmm.
And most people in general aren't, you know.
Do my job.
But when I was interested in the IGDA in the first place, I was interested in this as a career, and I'm always interested in bettering my surroundings. And since I'm in this industry, not just at a job, I want to, even if nobody else was interested, I would just go to an IGDA meeting, just me, and sit down and think about how to improve the industry.
Wow.
That's the thing I've always said.
Dude, this boy's hardcore.
I know, that's what I was saying.
Jeez.
Got some zen going on.
Well, and I remember talking to a guy at Riot Games, and he was very adamant that the thing that's going to make you more successful, more creative as a company or as a person was surrounding yourself with more people, you know. And he was just like, you're going to be more successful if you're in a bigger city. And I think Salt Lake City, he's like, well, it's not as big as California. Well, we had some pretty big ballers, you know, roaming these streets. And it's and I think the more that, like you said, have a chance to work with each other, we're actually going to, you know, impress on each other new ideas. And
yeah, we're actually not that small. Like, employee wise, we're in the top 10 in the nation. Yeah. So.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah.
We've got so many studios here.
Yeah.
There's so many people working in games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking back to when I was working at Sensory Sweep, and, you know, that was, that we had over 200 people just in that one studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were making games.
Avalanche is up to 250?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Over 200.
Yeah, and Avalanche are both in that range.
Well, yeah. I remember Push Button Summit last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was either the governor or somebody was talking about how much money has come in from just games.
Huh.
In general. Like, it was, like, I'm trying to remember the stats. I have my notes somewhere. But it was something, it was over 50% of digital revenue.
Oh, my gosh.
In this state, yeah. Which is huge. More than movies.
Yeah.
More than, you know, other medias. It's, games is the digital workhorse of Utah.
And the cost of living is so low. So move here. Oh, you're out of town.
But don't move here.
Yeah, wait. Wait, crap.
Too much story. A couple of you can move here.
Yeah.
No, you can move here. You can move here.
No, everyone should move here.
Seriously, the more people that we have here who want to make games, the more games we'll be making. I mean, yeah, it's just
that's true
natural.
Enough.
I mean, I don't know. So if you follow us on Twitter, I hope you caught the conversation that we had about EA being a cruise ship.
Oh yes, it was my favorite
analogy.
Who was that? Was that Luke Spudwalker?
I came up with that one.
Well, yeah, you had the idea.
Oh, right, right.
He was saying something.
Okay, sorry.
What is it? What is
Rewind.
It
I said, so stoked. Got an interview at EA, which I'm gonna do tomorrow morning, and I need to go to bed. So I'm excited. We'll get you know, here. It's like, you know, whether it's my dream job or whether I want to work for big company or not or go indie, it's cool to have an opportunity to interview at EA at the least, or, you know, work for them.
Yeah.
And so I said, anyone have any tips or something like that? And someone said, don't run away, EA, you know, right. And they got really mad about who or what EA is.
Some definite hatred for EA.
Yeah, I mean, Battlefield just not that good. well, whatever it is.
Are you still playing Battlefield?
Three.
It's still a hot
you're
game.
Playing. You mean Battlefield 3. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Battlefield.
No.
Not being
was,
good?
Was it 1942?
Battlefield 1942.
Oh, yeah, I actually like that one. But anyway, so he was like, he was kind of, you know, being Debbie Downer on EA, and I didn't want to respond necessarily to that, and then Trent got on and, what? Give us your cruise ship analogy.
So EA is like, EA is very important for the game's ecology, where they might be like this huge mammoth company, but they're very important because they're like this cruise ship,
mm-hmm,
that all of the dolphins can kind of swim in the wake, right?
Yeah.
Like, so they're moving along.
I'm a dolphin!
We, as dolphins,
I'm a dolphin!
Can kind of get in there and swim where EA is not.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense to everybody?
Sure.
So also, not only that, but them being this big cruise ship, they bring all the tourists mm-hmm. and show them these awesome things that they wouldn't normally see. But it's almost like they're just seeing the surface, you know, with Madden, with Battlefield 3, with mm-hmm. whatever. They're seeing the surface. They're seeing these major AAA titles where some of the tourists will go home and they'll talk about their experience, right? And they'll think, oh, yeah, I experienced games. Mm-hmm. Well, some of the people will fall in love with the country, you know, whether it's Alaska or Spain or wherever you're going on your cruise. And they'll be like, oh, man, I've got to live here. And they'll start swimming with the dolphins. You know, they'll start experiencing that. And that's like, you know, experiencing all these incredible indie titles that are happening right now. Anyway, that was my analogy. I was so proud of it.
Well,
it
sounds like a tweet. I need a favorite.
Yeah.
You should.
It got me thinking because I visited Alaska like 5 years ago, and there's this town right at the base of Denali State Park. And there's just a highway that cuts through both sides of it. And one side is this gorgeous hotel. It's absolutely mm-hmm. just awesome. It's totally the cruise liners stay at the hotel, and it's part of the package is you get to stay at this hotel. And then the other side of the street looks like a freaking hobo village. And it's really beat down, but every store sign says Alaska owned or locally owned products here. Yeah. And the other side is the indie side, right? There's AAA on one side. And they're bound to cross the street and go shopping and uh-huh. like, oh, I want to go check out the local stuff. It's, you know, yeah. And for them, it may be, you know, kind of quaint or cute.
And it's not going to be everybody.
It's not going to be everyone. Everyone's going to go to Denali Park, which is what's bringing both of those two demographics mm-hmm. together. And obviously, it's not going to be as big. But at the same time...
Denali Park being games in this analogy, right?
Yeah, games. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, like when you said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, that totally reminds me of this little town that both of them were thriving. You know, just definition of thriving on both sides is obviously a different
I mean, EA is so big that they're focused on everybody as a whole, which is great.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is great, which is important. But they leave a void
right.
where they've been that we can fill, mm-hmm. you know? And we being any other company, you know, like Riot, for instance. Well, EA's not doing a MOBA. They're...
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, they will.
Oh, I can't wait until Zynga.
The Lord of the Rings one. Anybody know?
What?
Zynga won't be.
Wait a minute.
They just
you guys didn't know about this?
There's a Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've been following it. It's I can't remember the name of it, but dang it. Sorry. This is me showing my lack of nerd cred here.
League of the Rings?
That's all right. We didn't even know about it.
No, okay. Well, there is a MOBA coming, but Gandalf gets his one MOBA ass kicked by the guy who loves the ring, the precious guy.
Oh, Gollum?
Yeah.
Like, that's funny.
Well, because the character sets, you know, it's skill sets and things like that. He's a direct counter to Gandalf.
Oh,
and it's really funny. at least he was, you know, in a little while of development ago.
Oh, Guardians of Middle Earth.
Yes, there you go. It's a MOBA title based around Lord of the Rings.
Sounds like there should be.
I don't know who's making it though.
An XBLA? I mean,
yes.
It's going to be an Xbox.
They got a license.
Yeah, it's a lore. It's made on Xbox. It's,
that's awesome. Do you know the developer?
I don't. That's what I was asking. I'm not sure.
I'm googling it on my phone. Well, hopefully, it doesn't screw up the microphone with their.
We'll see. We're recording on too.
So a few more things about the industry.
Yeah, please. Yeah,
let's hear it. Go ahead, please.
So it's not just IGDA where community comes together. You can find, you know, game clubs at schools. There's artist groups. Someone at EA started a thing called Pixel.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a big art celebration, and there was a lot of video games
that was awesome.
Going on there.
That's I can't wait until really that comes again.
There's other events like Push Button and Geeks, where it's kind of like a consumer-facing. Yeah, Geeks is being skipped this year, but Push Button is coming next month.
Geeks is kind of every other year, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. Push Button is
starting to look that way.
I stopped by Geeks, but Push Button.
Once it was 2 years in a row, but...
At least for right now.
Yeah. And Push Button is a bit more like, if you're serious about starting a game company, you definitely want to check out Push Button, because it has a lot of entrepreneurial...
And when is Push Button?
Middle of November. They do have a date now, but it's not on their website.
I went last year. It was awesome.
Submitting a request to take some PTO.
Yes. Awesome. I'm probably going to be tutoring during it or giving a presentation or something.
Oh, very cool.
And there'll be an artist there from Smart Bomb.
And then they do a game jam.
Oh, who's the artist from Smart Bomb?
Jason Kaiser.
Oh, awesome.
Didn't they do a game jam last year during Push Button?
During Geeks, and they're planning on doing a game jam again.
At Push Button?
Yeah. Cool. It's going to be at Push Button because it's part of their new push towards, like, let's teach people real skills here while we're there and stuff.
Very cool.
So,
about game jams.
Yes. Oh, no.
There's
game jam. That's where I was going.
This guy's a game jam fiend.
He did it on his own, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll game jam on my own. There's game jams are awesome, and what they are is when you just sit down and make a game, like, with some small idea and just make a small game in a short amount of time. And it can be with people, it can be online, like Ludum Dare or Ludum Dare. You can Google that one to just jump right in if you want. Or you can come to some of the local game jams. The one at Push Button is probably the next one coming up. And then the next one after that is Global Game Jam.
Yes.
That one is all over the world, and it all happens at the same time, the last weekend in January, and it'll be here. I'll read off the address because I brought it. At Broadview University, Salt Lake City, 240 East Morris Avenue, Utah 84115. So
it's right off of State Street and like 2600 South. It's just if you get off I-80.
If you get off the State Street exit on I-80 and then go straight instead of back onto I-80.
Of the Kentucky Fried Chicken. KFC.
Yes.
Ooh.
They changed that name.
They don't. They're not Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. They didn't want to have fried.
We're in Durham's by Kentucky Fried Chicken then. But not KFC,
which is delicious. I had some fried chicken today. Anyway,
but yeah, I run the
Game Jam. Let's talk about that.
I run the Global Game Jam every year, and I plan on keep running it until I grow old and die. And it's just an awesome thing. They announce a theme. They have awesome speakers. Look up some of the old speakers from previous years and watch those videos. They're all awesome.
Romero was awesome.
Really?
Yeah. John Romero?
How did I miss that? I missed that one.
I met John Romero in person once.
Nice. Is his hair as beautiful as it looks?
Yes.
Do you know for $10,000 you can have him come to your house?
I know. $10,000. Yeah, I don't think you can anymore. I think they took it down.
I think
they took it down because they weren't even close to their million.
Oh, sad. There was a Kickstarter game.
A Kickstarter?
And there was...
For old school.
Yeah, it was an old school reboot. And, nice. And John Romero wasn't even part of it, but the other two people were, just by association.
I think he's
part of the company. Oh, was he? Oh, okay. Well, anyways, if you spend $10,000 to Kickstart this company, they would come and deliver your copy of your game on a velvet pillow. By John Romero and these two other rock stars.
Nice.
In the industry.
What's her name?
I can't remember the other two.
Right Waith.
Yeah. And then I don't remember the other guy's name. But they're huge, like, industry luminaries.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you, for $10,000?
Yeah, the guy that did Katamari Damacy spoke last year.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Katamari, he did a really interesting thing about how to come up with ideas for games.
Yeah, interesting.
So, watch all those. It's just globalgamejam.org. You can go there and check out everything about it, and then you can find the Salt Lake City site there just under the locations.
So would you mind telling us kind of how Global Game Jam works for anyone who's interested?
What a standard
like what experience happens? If you go to Global Game Jam, what are what you going to experience?
Yeah. Okay, so you can just go as an observer if you want and just check it out, but most of the time, if you do plan to end up participating because it's so fun,
It's awesome.
It starts off with watching that keynote, and then a theme is announced, and based off that theme, people come up with ideas, and then teams are formed around the ideas. So whichever idea is like makes you want to work on it, you go join that team. And different chapters and sites will have and jam sites will have. Different ways of forming teams, and you can come with a pre-arranged team if you want, but it's encouraged to come alone because it's also a really fun social experience.
Is there a ton of people that come expecting to find a team there?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the majority.
Oh, okay.
So then you form your team, you gather around in a room or around a table with your computers, and whatever it is you use to come up with games or make games. You know, people have their tablets or their guitars or whatever, and those things, I've seen them. And then you just make a game in 48 hours, and it's awesome. It's so awesome, especially if you're interested in wanting in the process of making games, because it's like the entire 2 year or 6 month process of making a game all boiled down into 48 hours. And I love it because it gives me a chance to refine everything I know about making a game every time I do it.
It's very, very cool. Do you know Ashley Zalet? The IGDA, she's part of the IGDA
headquarters.
Yeah.
The name is not ringing
a bell. So she, so I was an IGDA scholar this last year, which for students is an absolute dream of an experience. And Ashley was the one that took us around. We got to go to a conference for free on IGDA's ticket. And so she took us around as a rep for IGDA. And she, 2 years ago, was a journalist that had nothing to do with games. And she told us that she's realized that she wanted to be involved in game dev. And she started going to game jams. And all of a sudden now she's a producer at doing her own thing. And I mean, and it was just after doing a couple game jams and just showing up and saying, oh, I want to do something. And she realized what her knack was. And now she's a producer herself and, you know, heavily involved in IGDA, obviously. Well, and
I don't respect any producer that hasn't done game jams, honestly.
Oh, great. Now I feel bad. Well, guess what? I know what I'm doing in November. So,
November as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to the push button
thing. Yeah, push button game jam.
Awesome. And I would second everything that Josh said.
Even if you just like games, show up and be prepared to talk about game design with a team, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, here's the thing that I've been hesitant on game jams in the past is I know how to manage a team. I know a little art, you know, and so sometimes I feel like if I'm not a hardcore artist or a hardcore engineer, the game jam's not for me. Okay, so convince me to go.
So that's a common myth, and it's unfortunate. There are probably a few people that will be like, well, we don't feel like we need a producer, but I think it's one of the best things for a producer. If you are actually good at being a producer, and it's probably better to come with a prearranged team if you're going to do it as a producer. If you're going to go as a producer. Otherwise, you'll end up just being a designer or something.
Which I don't mind doing, but you know, it's like how can I fit in this team?
Yeah, you want to develop.
If I'm not doing the art and I'm not doing the code, how can I fit in this very skeleton crew team?
Yeah, well, if you want to focus,
how would you fit in a team as a producer outside of a game jam? What would you do?
You're finding people.
Yeah. Okay. So shut up, dude. Stop being reasonable.
Yeah.
No, that's like that. So if you want to be a game producer and that's the skills that you want to hone, then you're going to practice the finding people stuff beforehand when you form the team. And then at it, you're going to hone all your other skills that normally you wouldn't have a chance to hone except over the course of 2 years.
Yeah.
All of the things about, like, assigning tasks, you know, figuring out what the asset pipeline is going to be and how the different disciplines are going to work with each other and facilitating communication and meeting deadlines. You get to practice that all in one shot, and it gives you 2 years worth of experience in 1 weekend. It's just awesome.
In 2 days.
I've wasted so much tuition money.
No, it's true, actually.
Oh, well, thanks for making me feel better. Good heavens.
It's not a waste. It's just that you could have been doing, you know, twice as much, and
things will
change. There's different things to learn.
You can change now.
I can change.
Just like you can stay back. You can shoot people in the head,
or I can
run in and melee them.
He could zoom in on his gun.
Apparently, for 4 weeks, I didn't know how to zoom on the assassin sniper. Right? Yeah.
No, we joke. He could do with something else. It was a really funny comment.
I don't know why my DPS was so bad. I mean. Of course, Karate's turret was the best man on our team. But.
And Karate gets all the orange guns, so...
he never gives me...
Because you're ahead, killing all the monsters.
Right. Yeah.
I do all the work.
I know how this
works. One other thing that you might want to consider, if you don't... If either you don't feel like you can bring your own team, or you know, you just want to kind of meet people, mm-hmm. is something that I did last year, is just volunteer to help out. I could only make it for the first evening, so I just volunteered and I helped sign people up, find tables, you know, just kind of be a facilitator that way. And I met a bunch of people through that, which was awesome. You know, saw some people from previous jams, and you know, it's a great way to not only network, but experience the real world stuff. And you know what? If you're a producer, you can, and probably will have to at some point, manage multiple teams. So maybe you join all the teams and say, hey,
hedge your bets.
You know, if yeah. I can help you, let me help you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, John was doing that 2 years ago.
John.
Oh, the main guy at EA.
Oh, John Dean?
Oh, yeah, Dean.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Executive Sorry, producer of the mobile department of EA. This guy's flipping rockstar. And I actually wanted to mention him because I've never seen someone so, quote, high up in the, you know, in the ranks of game industry. And he is so big on making sure that the IGDA is successful. He's extremely, you know, impressive on making sure everyone is aware of all community events. And he came to the U last year, and he's like, listen, you guys need to be hanging out with the Wiggy people and the IGDA people, which, you know, Wiggy is the Women in Games International.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Corinne Lewis is on U campus, and she started that, and she you know, honestly, I think she's having probably the same struggles you are, that just some people don't want to come to the event. And understanding what,
yeah.
how I need to be related to the games industry or not to be able to be associated with this. And but yeah, John Dean. Sorry, I totally rambled there.
No.
Yeah, John Dean, that's wicked awesome that he goes to these game jams. Yeah. I mean, he probably has more to do with his, better do with his time, but he's spending time doing that.
Oh, that did remind me of one other community. There was Wiggy, and then there's Utah Mobile Game Developers. Which I think you have to Google for and find it on Facebook. And they also do some game stuff.
So there's also the indie game development
oh, yeah.
group,
Duh.
which again meets every other month. Okay. And they have a very similar format to IGDA, except at the end, instead of opening it up for
networking
which is what IGDA does, which is awesome. They open it up for game demonstrations.
Yeah,
so if you want to see what's going on with Utah indie games, come to those meetings and check it out. That's where I showed Mosaic.
Greg Squire runs that. He's really awesome.
Yeah, Greg is awesome. And Greg will be at Global Game Jam. I can guarantee it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at utahindiegames.org.
Yeah, and I went to the one where he actually did a presentation on how to make your own MAME cabinet.
Yeah.
Did you go to that one?
I went to
oh, he rarely
he's
speaks.
Done it a couple
he
times.
He rarely speaks, and
but
he's like,
when
I've
he
done
does.
This for, yeah, he's like, I've done this for 6 years, and I've never had to speak, and so I didn't have anyone. So I'm going to show you guys how I made my MAME cabinet, and oh my gosh, I want to go spend $4,000 on making a MAME cabinet that will know people's mind. Yeah, I mean, it was so exciting, and he brought
I had a friend who did because of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, so
Adam Medeiros.
So we awesome. Had a huge projection screen.
That's one of the perks at Smart Bomb. We get a MAME cabinet we can play on.
Oh.
We had one at Sensory Sweep as well.
Right
next to one of two ping pong tables. So, Josh.
Oh, my goodness.
When are we going to start a ping pong league?
Legends.
A legend.
There's not one at my job. Is there?
Oh, really?
There's not one at my job either.
Yeah.
But when a studio volunteers one. There's the,
okay. We've been trying to get
EA
one.
EA has one. You. Talk to people you know at EA. See if you
awesome.
Can get it started.
That'd be fun.
Okay.
There's a softball thing that didn't happen this year, though.
Intramural? Intramural?
Sure.
Inter-studio. No, well,
inter-studio.
Is what they call
yes,
it.
Thank you. Inter-studio ping pong tournaments.
That could be awesome.
Okay, so I actually thought about your problem with the ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to bring it up on the health episode.
Oh.
Anyway, so we're running over a little
yeah.
bit.
The
we should probably start wrapping it
the
up.
The
mythical
episode.
Health element.
The one that's
episode.
At the end of the rainbow somewhere.
It'll,
yeah, we promise we'll talk about
happen,
it.
Maybe.
So, anything else you want to say, Josh?
Yeah. Any questions that you never get asked that you just want
to? You have a prepared answer for? You're ready.
Just like to toss out my favorite game, Chrono Trigger.
Oh,
nice.
I love Chrono Trigger.
Like, yeah. It's like other JRPGs, it's a lot of fun with the leveling and everything, but it's unique. Like, go back and play it if you haven't played it in a while.
And I heard it's on iOS.
Watch how amazing it is. It's not only is it fun to play, it's really fun to watch, and that was really rare for a JRPG. And I'm also a huge fan of time travel stuff, so that's why it's my favorite.
Awesome.
Some tips about getting in the industry. Learn Flash and make games. That's probably like the biggest thing I would do. I offer tutoring if you want to learn programming.
Now you said
eventually
in Flash,
you want to learn C++.
You said in Flash, right? But
yeah.
What if they find something else? I mean, a lot of interesting middleware is coming out, like Unity. And,
oh yeah, no, that's fine.
I mean, so find
if
something.
If you find an engine,
find something.
Yeah, just make games, and that's
okay.
Something Josh Sutphin would always say, and he's totally right. Just make games. That's how you get in. besides, like, there's in order to actually get a job at a studio, there's you need two of three things: connections, skills, experience. Once you have two of those three things, you can get in, and those aren't really easy, but.
Well, come to IGDA,
yeah.
Come to Game Jams.
Networking.
Yep.
And you've got two of the three.
I have kind of a tongue-in-cheek answer for one of your questions.
Okay,
what question do people ask you that you wish they don't ask you that you wish they would? Do you want $1 million for free?
Nice.
That would be that would be my number one.
Just $1 million?
No.
It's becoming
that's
such a
that's why no one
I need to say trillion, right?
That's why nobody.
I was making it realistic, right?
He's a late adopter.
That's right.
You
I
understand
forget,
that.
I forget.
But more serious questions are
battery.
I don't get a lot of like play this game with me requests. So if you want to hit me up on email or Twitter for that, or Steam.
Which I totally added you on League of Legends, and you're never on.
Yeah, I've seen you like once or twice.
Yeah, I don't play on.
I'm playing a lot of different games right now, but I'll eventually fall back to League. Like it's everyone's fallback these days,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I played Dishonored last night, and
it's good.
And
huh?
Like, it is good. But I was like, man, I kind of want to play League. Right?
I know, right? It's kind of frustrating, actually.
That's a bad sign, Dishonored. Sorry.
Oh, no. Dishonored is...
It's not Dishonored's fault.
And I know.
It's like crack, man.
No, like, the problem is, if I would have played League, I would have been like, man, I'm missing out on some Dishonored time.
There's never enough time to do with all the games you want to play.
But my serious question I wish people would ask me is to ask me more questions on my thoughts on game design. Because even though I am primarily a programmer, I feel like... I spend a lot of time thinking and working on game design and, you know, doing those 12 games in a year and putting them out there and getting some of my ideas in some of my console games that I did at Sensory Sweep and having that experience. Like, I think I have just as much experience as any designer and have a lot to say and a lot of things that's worthwhile to talk about there. But
Josh, I would... fully agree with that. Next time we have you on, we will ask you about that.
Did you get my notes on your game?
Yes, I did. I did, and
were
they really
good? Okay, good.
They were really good. In fact, pretty much everything that you said, there were some really good insights in there. But a lot of what you said was things that I heard from other designers, from just me intuitively, like, okay, it probably needs this, but to hear it from somebody... It makes it so much more real, and
good.
Yeah, I've actually got a list of stuff that I need to do with that game. So, cool. And actually, I'm going to be updating a lot of stuff here soon. I made some interesting changes, kind of after our emerging gameplay talk,
mm-hmm.
Or actually, what spurred me on with emerging gameplay was my friend Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He made a suggestion that got my mind spinning. So just playing with sound and making it emergent.
Pugs love. Oh, what's it? Pugs love beats.
What is that?
It's
really
an
fun.
iPad game. It was actually one of the IGF finalists last year, I think.
Oh, awesome.
iPad game where it's strictly all about music and little pugs,
oh,
little dogs.
Oh,
it's a gorgeous game. Gorgeous game. Audio.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do with that. Speaking of game ideas, this will be the last one that I wanted to answer.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the game, the ideal game you want to make or whatever? I have this idea that I've constantly been working on just in my mind over the last several years called Utopia, with an E at the beginning. And
awesome.
It's kind of like an MMO, but it would be a visual style of an old JRPG where it's little sprites running around on kind of a grid, but maybe more like The World Ends With You style. And the idea, like, I have an idea for the emergent gameplay part of it. I want it to be a bit like Minecraft, where everything is customizable. You can walk up to anything and break it apart into its pieces. And what the pieces are, it's actually a string of symbols. So your very basic, like, empty space is zero. And then water is, like, one water element. And then grass is going to be, like, one earth, one water.
Oh, like alchemy.
One pulse. Kind of. And it's just, like, every type of thing, every object that can exist has a formula of a number of elements within it. Even, like, a computer is going to be, like, three spark and four earth or something, you know.
Sure.
And then that's people are going to be able to break those apart, mix them together, and I want to make it so that it's kind of like either a wiki-driven or have some writers that are constantly on it to make it ever-changing and keep the story and plot always fresh. And then I always, you know, everyone, whenever people design MMOs, they always want to come up with social experiments and be like, what happens if people have this thrown on them? And what will they do? And, you know,
yeah.
I love thinking about those kind of ideas. I also have a tabletop game I'm trying to publish called Story Mixer, where it's kind of like a boiled down tabletop RPG experience. Cool. You get characters and then you discuss, like, create a story with with the other players around the table.
And this is one that you've already developed?
Yeah, I have a prototype. I'm going to submit it to the local SaltCon contest, Ion Awards.
Oh, cool.
Maybe it'll get picked up.
That's awesome. So are you part of the,
Board Game Designers Guild?
Yeah,
I was just at a meeting this week.
Awesome. And is that still a game night?
No, it's over at Epic Games, though.
Oh.
Epic Puzzles and Games.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
On 4500 South?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, 40th West?
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Huh.
That's on my way home from work.
When Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights. Every Tuesday?
No. Second and fourth.
Second and fourth Tuesday.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Sorry, so it means wife. I have to miss them sometimes.
Yeah. My apologies to Trent's wife. You're not going to see him one more day out of the week.
Well, she probably will. We'll see. That's awesome.
All right. Well,
I have lots of other game design ideas too. I have a whole bank of them that I store up, like, awesome game ideas. Oh, I'm going to add that to my bank, and then I can look it up later.
I've got the same thing on my phone.
Nice.
It's awesome.
So this has led me to want to bring Josh back in a couple weeks or whenever he's available again. I want to go play his 12 games at least, and then I want to talk.
Well, there's a lot more than that.
Oh, crap. Well, I got to play all of Josh's games, and then we'll bring him back on.
Oh, I gotta
sometime
play.
In the
so
future.
Josh, we'll see you next
Dang,
year.
Dang, I gotta play. Yeah, right. But I've always got that notion. I had that notion with you ever since I've known you that you don't seem like the normal coder. You seem like you have some other things going on behind you. So I would love to pick your brain on game design. We could have a design night one night. So we'll have to bring you back. Thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. We really appreciate it. We are Confessions of a Game Dev.
Yes.
Is that can we do an outro? Is that okay?
Yeah, we always do.
Okay. So Spencer Buchanan is talking with you right now. At Spenny. What am I now?
At Spenny.
I keep Spenny.
At the Spenny. At two N's.
T-H-I-N-E. S-P-E-N-N-I-E.
And Josh, you want to give your...
So this is Josh Jones. You can follow me on Twitter at Vazor222. V-A-Z-O-R. 222, and you can search that name and find me almost anywhere as well.
We'll also Twitter it.
Cool. Put it on.
If you follow Spencer or myself or Karate, we'll send
throw
it
all that up there.
Yeah. And there's also Vazor222.com, and be sure to sign up if you're interested in the game industry. Go to the IGDA list, igda.org/slc. Click on the link at the top,
or wherever you are. We've actually got people listening to us. All sorts of crazy.
Yes. Places. See if you have a local chapter. Hungary? Each chapter is kind of different, but find them if you're interested in the industry.
You're welcome to fly in for our meetings if you'd like.
Yes, definitely.
You are. This is Brandon Karate at karate.com, K-A-R-R-A-T-T-I, or Twitter/karate.
Awesome. And this is Trent Baird. You can find me, you can follow me on Twitter at Thunderhead_I for Thunderhead Interactive, which is my company. We make games and stuff and websites, whatever. Anyway, you can also like us on Facebook, and please do. It's facebook.com/thunderheadgames, all one word. Awesome. All right, well, for everybody here, thank you very much. We love you, and bye.
Bye.